It's you and me together again, dark and early. Good morning at 5:09. I noticed coming into the Bob Surratt building this morning here on East Wacker, down in the lobby there's a big sign for, I think it's called a penthouse office or a penthouse lounge, and it indicates that this is for anybody who works in the building. Anybody been up there?
Well, it's not open yet.
Oh, there, I see.
But there is
coming soon.
There is an amenities floor that's currently open.
Really?
Where there's a gym, and there's a room with a massage chair. You can go in there and sit in the massage chair and chill. You could do some work.
Can you nap someplace up there?
You could nap.
Dave, you sound like you've been up there.
I use the fitness center, but I've been in that amenity suite or the tenant lounge, I think it's called. I mean, if you want to take a break, Bob, and just go down and get a quick massage in the chair, you could do that.
Okay, let me see if I... Do I have to schedule it, like, for the 5:30 a.m. news?
You have to make an appointment.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah, so it's open to anybody who works in the building?
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I guess they're going to upgrade it and move us upstairs for all that stuff.
Okay. So wait a minute. So what's open now is downstairs.
The second floor, but they're building another one. They're building a new fitness center. It's all kinds of stuff happening here.
Okay.
Just all to welcome you.
Well, I hope my rent doesn't go up. First caller on WGN here in the morning on the air wins a prize. Every morning at about this time, we'll do that at 312-981-7200. And today it's you, Tom, from Lansing, Illinois. How you doing?
Very good, thank you. Good to hear you again. Love the music, first thing.
Appreciate that. Sounds like you're on the road. Where are you off to at this hour?
Carroll Stream.
What do you do for a living, Tom?
I am a pipe fitter.
So you're headed somewhere, and then you'll be working all day today, and then what do you got planned for the weekend?
Probably, with the weather and all, probably just laying low and staying most of the house, getting Christmas stuff put away.
Well, you know, we officially took down the holiday decorations and the tree we had here at the radio station, so we can be mean to each other now again. The season is over. The weather, it's going to be kind of messy eventually. Heavy rain later tonight, and even though it's mild now, 30s tonight, and then Saturday night, especially north and northwest of the city, they're talking about snow accumulating. We'll update all that as we go along this morning. So how's business in the pipe fitting world, Tommy?
Not too bad, but I'm in my final days. I'll be retiring at the end of the month.
Good for you. How old a guy are you?
I am 60, but I've got over 40 years in the trade.
Well, that's fantastic. And are you going to stay in the area after you hang it up?
Most likely. We've got a lot of family and a new grandbaby, so according to the wife, now I think we are.
Tom, you're my idol. Good for you. And for you, as the first caller, well, this is going to be good. You seem to be interested in the weather. So how about a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling? This is appropriate for you, Tom the pipe fitter. They are the 60-minute men. You can go to AmericanWeathermakers.com, and we'll get that to you, and you'll be able to check the weather so you know when to go golfing and so forth and so on, Tom.
Okay, very good.
All right, hold on. We'll get all the necessary information and get that out to you. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's 5:19 on the Coyote Beat for Channel 9 News. Judy Wang is on the north side on Willow. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. That's right. We are on Coyote Watch. And the whole ordeal, we're not sure, but it's quite possible it could be over. Chicago Animal Control isn't exactly saying if this coyote is indeed the one that bit two people this week, including a young boy. But we do have Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins, who was tweeting this morning. And what he says is preliminary indications suggest that it is the right coyote. He says the city is currently awaiting DNA test results for confirmation. Now, Animal Control says it responded to a report of an injured coyote in the 1700 block of North Dayton. It captured the animal at about 10:15 last night after shooting it with a tranquilizer dart. That's near Willow and Fremont Avenue. animal control officers have been swarming this whole north side, this whole area, ever since these two attacks happened on Wednesday. The animal control says it's actually the first attack until now, first time in decades that this has happened in the city. Wednesday, a man walked into Northwestern Memorial Hospital and reported a coyote had bitten him in Streeterville. One of our own photographers was actually out there shooting video on Thursday, and he encountered a coyote that did not appear to be afraid of him at all, and that coyote appeared to be walking with a limp near the hospital. Hours earlier, a six-year-old boy was bitten multiple times outside the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum. That's in the 2400 block of North Cannon in Lincoln Park. Now, two DePaul University cross-country and track runners happened to be working out nearby. They say they heard screaming. They ran over. They saw the child covered in blood and also saw the coyote. And what the students did was one of them tried to chase away the coyote with a stick. And they flagged down a CTA bus, got the boy on board the CTA bus, and tried to put pressure on his wounds, and then called 911. So they say that they just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Again, no confirmation yet from animal control. The animal is at animal control headquarters undergoing evaluation.
I was listening to you on the way in this morning, Judy, now that WGN Radio simulcasts the Channel 9 morning news between 4 and 5, and I was thinking about rabies. I haven't heard much talk about that. And then I saw a blurb today that Thomas Wake, who heads up rabies control for the county, said the disease should not be of concern because there hasn't been a case of rabies in any animal in Cook County except bats since 1954. So not only is it unusual for coyotes to approach people and bite people, but we haven't heard anything about rabies. So one less thing to worry about on this Friday.
Yeah, in fact, one of these DePaul students says he was shocked. I think one of them said that he, you know, has been around coyotes. One of them's from Michigan, the other one from New Lenox. And he said that he was quite alarmed that this coyote did not seem to be afraid of him at all.
Well, you know, supposedly there's thousands of them around, and the experts say there's not really an uptick in the population. So I don't know why we're seeing them. Maybe they're just in different locations. They're on the move, aren't they?
Yeah, in fact, outside the WGN-TV studios, we spot them in the parking lot all the time. And there was even a mother who gave birth to a bunch of puppies by the satellite dishes. And I remember animal control telling us, you know, as long as they don't bother you, don't bother them.
Yeah, well, the alderman of the 43rd Ward, Alderman Smith, said that her office has received about 25 calls just during the last 2 days from residents who've spotted a coyote. So I always thought that it was a suburban issue, but apparently they're moving back to the city now. They're coming home.
And don't seem to be afraid of us.
No, they don't. So are you on the coyote watch now all morning? Is that how it's going to be for you, Judy?
Well, so far, you know, sometimes I get rerouted somewhere else. But, you know, there are people in this area ever since, you know, what happened, the two attacks on Wednesday. They kind of had their guard up. So it'll be interesting to see what people around here say about this.
Yes, I know we'll catch that on Channel 9. And let's see, what else do we want to cover here before we leave this subject of coyotes? I think that's about it. So basically, the new information is that after 10 last night on North Fremont, the coyote was captured.
Right, with a tranquilizer. And I think, according to Alderman Hopkins, Animal Control is awaiting DNA test results, so I guess that's well we'll know for sure if they've got the right coyote in custody.
And now the coyote with the animal's agent making arrangements for exclusive news interviews. I'm sure WGN-TV will be first with that. Keep us posted, Judy.
Yes, I'll be working on that.
Thank you. Have a good one. It's 525. Let me head into the traffic department for a second, Mary. Is the Skyway still messed up? Is that going to be an issue for a while?
I believe it's going to be. There's still that rollover accident because it was a landfill truck and the load spilled all over the place, and then there was a fuel spill, so it's probably going to be a while, so you can't get into the Skyway, onto the Skyway that way. So,
all right,
keep roll over accident.
Keep us posted on that. Coming up, I will bring up something with you, Mary, a little bit after the 5:30 news that I noticed doing a little research on you, so...
Should I be nervous?
Don't leave the building. No, not at all.
Oh, boy.
Coming up, also, we'll talk about something interesting going on here on Wacker Drive. We were talking about what's happening in our building here. Well, there's some restaurant news to give you concerning the new Bank of America Tower that's under construction there at 110 North Wacker Drive. I think you're going to be interested in that. And later on this morning, we'll take you out to Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show update. Lots of new gizmos and high-tech toys and audio-video gadgets to report on. And we have our man from Apt, the technologist out there, and he'll report for us. Lou Manfredini's first call happens on Fridays at about 6:18. And later on this morning, we'll check in with Dan Hampton, get a little football preview and talk with Dan. Dave Bennett will handle that. And, of course, as always, Dean Richards Entertainment reporting a little after 8. Troy Murray of the Blackhawks will join us before we get out of here today at 9 o'clock as well. And they lost again last night, didn't they, Dave?
They did. They, for some reason, Bob, it's weird. They just can't quite get going at home. They've been good on the road.
Yeah, they, as I mentioned here yesterday, they look good. They'll win a couple in a row. Then they'll lose a few in a row.
Can't put anything together. They just can't get the consistency that they need. And these are tough because these are the teams that you're battling to get into the playoffs. So you need to pick up some points against them.
Well, we'll be out there with the family on Saturday night. They're playing the Ducks, I think, Saturday.
The Anaheim Ducks, who have the worst record in the Western Conference.
Good. Well, so there's a good chance we'll have a fun night.
Well, I think that combined with your presence, I think, should help.
Yeah, I'm looking too at the weather forecast for Saturday night. Snow, freezing rain. Hopefully that'll be late, but you know we'll check on that here in a second. As for today, I think you better take along something like a heavy jacket, because even though it's nice out now, mild temperature wise, supposed to be in the 30s by the time you're out and about later tonight. So get you caught up on all that here. And also, I should mention that we do something here now in the 7:30 segment of the broadcast called, I call it Extremely Local News. We check in with the folks over at Block Club Chicago. They run that organization where they actually have reporters embedded in every neighborhood, and they give you really extremely local news. It's good stuff. So that's all on the way. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us, the phone number and the text number is the same, 312-981-7200. And I think by next week we'll set up the new email, right, so folks can also email the show and we can acknowledge your feedback on the air that way. This is a work in progress here. We're still under construction.
We've got Ron Santo's old fax machine somewhere if you'd like to use that.
Is that right? Really?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, I remember when I was doing the noon hour, yep, and before a Cubs day game, we would talk to Ron, and those were some fun broadcasts. I never had more fun than that in my life talking to Santo. And after a while, it was funny. It was when my nephew Judd was in the booth with Pat and Ron, and Judd told me that Ron mentioned to him that I knew more about him than he did, than Santo did. So. But I miss him. We were talking to Randy Hundley yesterday, mm-hmm, and how at a Cubs fantasy camp that I went to in the 80s when I was doing a story on the camp for Channel 2 News, Santa was giving me some batting tips, some hitting instruction, throwing balls to me, and when I actually improved because of some tips he gave me that look like he was the proud father. He was so happy, and I've got that image in my head. It's such a beautiful scene in my mind. I still miss him.
Oh, absolutely.
Orion Samuelson has the agribusiness update.
Good morning. The wheat market showed a lot of strength again yesterday, up 10 cents in the nearby contract, the March wheat contract, but corn and soybeans traded lower for for the day. The March corn contract down a penny a bushel. January soybeans down 4.5 cents a bushel. Grain markets looking ahead to tomorrow's USDA report scheduled for release at 11 o'clock Chicago time. They're expected to show smaller U.S. corn and soybean crops in 2019, smaller grain stocks, and lower winter wheat plantings here in the United States. Then we look at livestock futures and the expectation of more U.S. pork sales to China not showing up in the lean hog contracts at the Mercantile Exchange. The April lean hog contract down $1.32 yesterday. February live cattle up 20 cents a hundredweight, and the January feeder cattle contract up just 2 cents a hundredweight. It looks like we're going to have to wait even longer to get congressional approval of the Canada-U.S.-Mexico grain agreement because the full Senate voted to put off to next week at the earliest, but final vote could be delayed even further by the articles of impeachment. A full Senate vote on the trade agreement will be put off until next week at the earliest, but that will only come after the deal has been referred to multiple committees for review. So that's what we're looking at, another delay in that important three-country trade agreement approved last year by the countries, but we still await the congressional approval here. That's Ag Biz. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
And after hearing O's voice, I always feel like I'm Barney Pipp. It's 5:40, and I was doing a little research going through the personnel papers of all the employees who work here in the morning, and I noticed that...
That's nice to know.
Did you Google us?
No, I have my private files, Mary.
Oh, my.
And I see here, Mary, you have been here... Well, it's almost 25 years, right?
22.
22 years. Okay, so if you add up...
Almost 23, yeah.
Orion Samuelson's 60, just about, plus your time here.
22.
So, yeah,
Dave's been here longer.
Well, you two have almost, better than 80 years here. And then, Dave, we can add you in there. How many years?
Let's see, I was
Dave
first
was here.
Here.
Twice, yeah.
I'm on my second time, but my first time would have been 36 years ago.
So we should do.
So it comes out to about 28, something like that.
And Steve's in the newsroom. You and I are short timers, Steve, because I've been here quite a few years, but three different times. So I don't know if you. I guess you count that, right? You count one stretch.
Yeah, they would count that as in your seniority. I think HR would probably count that.
But maybe they can do some sort of ad where they have all of our pictures and then they say. More than 100 years of experience.
Yeah. What, are they going to have a fossil next to it? I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, you could add in all my experience over at BBM. I think if we put all of our experience at all of our various places, it would be more than 100 years, I bet.
Yeah.
Probably 200 years. Yeah.
And by the way, Steve, since you mentioned your old station, and we really shouldn't acknowledge them on the air, we'll just give their initials.
The station shall not be named.
And I'm hearing my old pal, Bob Conway, who I worked with at LS, and he's doing the story on the coyote, and referred to the coyote. I'm trying to remember exactly the line that made me laugh. Referred to like the coyote as almost a person in the description of it was like he is now in animal care. What was it? It wasn't a he or a she. It was something else. Anyway, I thought, we're personalizing the coyote now. It's very amusing.
Well,
to
we
me.
Didn't we personalize. Chance the Snapper?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
have we come up
with
a name yet?
Chance the Rapper yesterday on his Twitter account was trying to find new names for the coyote.
There you go.
Yeah, and I think one of the ones that was getting the most votes was Frank Lloyd Bite.
Oh,
I remember now. Was
that's a good one.
The word was, that Bob used who instead of, it was like the coyote who was last seen instead of the coyote that was last seen. That was it. You know, I like to nitpick other broadcasters and, you know, critique them here.
I'm sure the texters are going to come up with some good names for the coyote now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Business news you can use. the story in the Trib today, Ryan Ori on real estate. Chicago's tallest office skyscraper in three decades is bringing in some lofty restaurant names to serve up food and drinks along the river. Chef and humanitarian Jose Andres has teamed up with Gibson's Restaurant Group to lease a sprawling space at the base of the 55-story Bank of America Tower that's under construction at 110 North Wacker. The restaurateurs and the building's developers just made this announcement. The chef's Washington, D.C.-based Think Food Group and the Chicago Steakhouse Group, led by Steve Lombardo and the family, have leased a 17,200-square-foot space where they'll open several restaurant concepts, including a fine dining restaurant, cocktail bar, and cafe with coffee. The partnership also will provide catering for a separate 10,000-square-foot event space on the third floor, which can hold as many as 400 people. So those restaurants will be opening at the base of the Bank of America Tower, that 55-story office building tower under construction, right along the Chicago River at 110 North Wacker Drive. It's going to be a destination spot for restaurants, for sure. The building is on the site of the former headquarters of Morton Salt. That was demolished in 2018. Construction topped out late last year. And another huge space on the river, Let Us Entertain You, last year opened that four-level space with restaurants and banquet space at the base of the office tower at 321 North Clark Street. So a lot of activity along the river. And let's see what else it says here. The $798 million tower will be open in October. The restaurants are expected to open soon after that, according to the developers. And let's see, otherwise in the business department, what we've got going on here today. That was a story that caught my eye. Grubhub may be for sale. Did you hear about this? The food delivery company is struggling with higher costs and fickle customers. That's us. That's you and me. We're fickle. We're going to check in on the markets and how it looks at the opening here in just a minute or two. I wanted to talk about a new way I found to wake up at this hour. You know the nice coffee machine we have in our kitchen here at WGN? I press the hot water button, and then instead of a cup, I put my hand under the spout.
Why? No.
And that
to see if it was hot.
That wakes me up, yeah. That wakes me up. I have a third-degree burn on my hand, but I'm up and alert and, you know, sound like I'm awake. So, you know, you may want to try that.
You know, we have a shower down the hall, Bob. Why stop with your hand?
Gee, it's crazy. Are you? Can you eat some regular food today yet?
Oh, yeah, the tooth is okay now, starting at lunchtime now.
Oh, excellent. What are you going to have for lunch?
Something crunchy, sticky, something with small particles, all the things that I've been asked to avoid for the past 3 days.
I'm good for you.
Really looking forward to that. When I got up today, that's what got me out of bed, I thought. Because I did not realize how much I live for food. I like to look forward to the next meal, and that's what I live for. Rewards. And I get excited
sweets.
Over
something.
You
probably lost like 3 or 4. How much weight did you lose?
Actually, I did lose some weight in the past few days.
And you're so skinny anyway.
And the other problem was we recently downsized, and so we're kind of living in boxes in our new place. And for quite a while, I couldn't find my belts. I found my pants, but I didn't find the belts. So I was thinking either I'm going to have to go buy some belts because I don't know where the belts are, or I'm just going to try to put on some weight. But I did locate the box with the belts the other day, so all is well.
As long as it's not suspenders, it wouldn't be a good look.
Yeah, you know, I saw Walter Jacobson in the hallway here yesterday. He doesn't wear suspenders anymore, does he?
I haven't seen him in suspenders, no.
Come to think of it.
No, maybe they're at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Yesterday, on the way home, I dropped off some tapes at the museum because during my purge here and during our little family cleanup, I came across some tapes that I had in storage for like years, and I realized, one, I'm never going to see these tapes because I will never get around to digitizing them. And I don't want to throw them out because they should be saved, not because of me, but because of what's on the tapes. So I called the museum and they said, yeah, bring them around and they'll eventually digitize them and make them available so you can see them either at the museum or online. One was an old one-inch videotape. I don't even know why I had it, but it was a history of NBC5 that was done many, many years ago. So I gave them that tape. And then I had an interview that I did with Lois Weisberg. Remember Lois Weisberg? She was the, I think, head of cultural affairs in the city for a long time. One of the most interesting people we've ever had in our city. She passed away some years ago. And then also at Channel 5 when I was there, I did a long interview with Alderman Leon Dupre, a very historic figure in Chicago politics. And so I gave them all of those tapes, too, because I just didn't want them to go in the garbage or remain in storage in the Surratt household forever.
Plus, how do you listen to them?
Yeah, well, really.
The one incher. I mean,
I know. Well, it's the Museum of Broadcast Communications problem now, I'm happy to say. It's 5:55. We'll go over the top six at six, as per usual here. That's coming up after our hourly update. And right now, how about looking at your money? And Steve Grzanich is in his room with the outlook for this morning, which is Friday, January 10th. Steve?
Sponsored by Associated Bank. Got the big report today that we'll be focusing in on at about 7:30. The jobs and employment figures for December are due out. Economists are forecasting job creation of 165,000 new jobs last month and the unemployment rate rising a tenth of a percent to 3.6%. Also today, wholesale inventories for November will be out. Analysts forecasting no change for October. So just a few things that could move the markets on this Friday, January the 10th.
Back to you, Bob. Well, thank you very much. The news will be coming up momentarily, and we'll go over the weather and traffic for the day. Let's check something, though, right away now, because I want people to be alert on this issue, Mary, the Skyway or the outbound Ryan that's still filled with garbage. Is that right?
Yeah. They've said about 80,000 pounds of garbage. I don't know who calculated that. That must have been fun, but it's all over the roadway now, and this is southbound on the Ryan, so heading outbound at the Skyway, so you cannot take the Skyway. You're going to be forced into the express lanes at 47th with
okay.
this continuing problem.
Yeah, I wanted you to know about that right away. I'm trying to catch up on your feedback. So let's open the mailbox quickly here. I want to acknowledge a couple of interesting comments. They all came in actually after our relationship expert yesterday morning. And do you remember she said that when your mate asks you, how do I look? Don't just say you're fine or good. The relationship expert pointed out that you should say tremendous, awesome, really, really build it up like that.
Fantastic.
And so that's it, Mary.
Bella Gandhi,
right.
Yeah. She's awesome.
And Bella said that, and from 773, this text, if I say stunning when my wife asks me how she looks, she will ask me if I feel okay. And then there was this from 219. I enjoyed this tip from a listener regarding marital relationships. Our rule is that if we're going to argue, we have to be naked. I like that.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 at 6.
What?
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Yes, it is every morning at 6:09. Not to be confused with the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Afternoon Show. All right, let's get started here. Taco Bell wants to give some of its workers the whole enchilada. Yesterday, the fast food chain announced it would test a $100,000 salary for general managers in some company-owned locations in the Northeast and Midwest starting later this year. Taco Bell also said that all employees at company-owned stores are eligible for at least 24 hours of paid sick time per year. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, does it? It's like you get one paid sick day.
Doesn't
Fast food chains are battling for talent as unemployment hovers near historic lows. Major retailers have responded to that war for talent by raising wages, with companies including Amazon, Target, and Costco boosting their minimum pay. Fast food chains have primarily focused on perks. Shake Shack has tested a four-day work week. That's a good idea. Starbucks has added mental health benefits. However, some workers have criticized the benefits when they're not coupled with higher pay, something that could help set Taco Bell apart from the competition. My daughter is hooked on Shake Shack, and I must admit, I do like Shake Shack, but I'm not really that crazy about their shakes, but I do like their sandwiches, their chicken and their burgers. It's a little pricey, though. It really, it's not cheap over there, but it's good. It's good stuff. Next up from the Bulls. Well, Mr. Annett, I know you have this story about the center, Wendell Carter Jr., missing 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. And he suffered the injury in the third quarter of the Bulls' Monday game against the Mavericks. It was kind of scary to see that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And this guy who can't, he just seems like he can't catch a break. I mean, he's just in his second season, he missed a lot of time last year with an injury. He's battled injuries throughout his time with the Bulls. Now he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks is the estimate. And the Bulls also said Otto Porter Jr., who's been out pretty much the entire season, continues his recovery, but they'll evaluate him a little bit later on. So Bulls, with everything else going on with the Bulls, they're losing and they're hurt.
Yeah, what more can happen? Yeah. One of Kim Fox's opponents in the state's attorney's race, Bill Conway, is touting an ethics plan and continues criticism over the Jussie Smollett case. R. Kelly, well, the television series is on, and every day there's a new story about this. Hands shackled behind her back, R. Kelly's girlfriend pleads not guilty to attacking another girlfriend at the Trump Tower condo. You probably heard about that. The private red light camera company SafeSpeed has responded to the Illinois Comptroller's decision this week to stop collecting on violators. And, of course, we have to update the story of the coyote caught on the north side last night.
Permit me to introduce myself. My name is Wile E. Coyote. Genius.
Chicago Animal Care and Control inspectors caught the injured coyote a little after 10 last night after shooting the animal with a tranquilizer dart. And that happened in the 1700 block of North Fremont Avenue.
He sounded pretty good after being shot with a tranquilizer.
Yeah, right. Not bad, huh?
Wile E. Coyote. That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Coming up, we'll talk to Lou Manfredini and I'll also tell you the best drink in the morning. It's not coffee. More on that coming
up. Yes,
it
is.
No, it isn't. I'll let you in on my little secret.
It's time to learn it all. You're on Lou's First Call.
Hello.
Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
6:18, we'll get to that in just a second. But first, as promised, this is what you should be drinking in the morning. Forget the coffee. Consider pouring yourself a cup of tea. A study published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology suggests that people who drink tea 3 or more times a week may live longer and suffer a lower risk of cardiovascular disease than their non-tea drinking counterparts.
Yes.
And it's green tea.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
The type of tea. That's the lousiest tasting tea, too.
It makes a difference. The researchers found that green tea was linked with approximately 25% lower rates of heart disease, stroke, and death. However, no significant associations were observed for black tea. Tea is rich in flavonoids, a natural plant-derived antioxidant that has been shown to reduce inflammation and improve heart and vascular health. This is a big study of more than 100,000 adults over in China. So this is what the researchers came up with. Overall, they found that on average, consistent tea drinkers were diagnosed with less cardiovascular disease, and they lived longer than those who drank tea rarely or not at all. I've got my green tea here, so
I've got tea, but it isn't green.
I'm reading a study which says that coffee not only does not increase the risk of heart
here
disease,
we go.
May even be beneficial.
Yeah, I know. You pick your study. I know.
Yeah, coffee versus tea every day.
Yeah, this is the problem.
Study.
And I was just talking to a doctor the other day who said, take all of these studies with a grain of salt because they're just averages and everybody's different, so you got to keep that in mind.
But you should cut down on those grains of salt.
Yeah, well, yes, I think everybody would do well there.
And just drink wine instead.
Good morning, Lou Manfredini. How you doing, Lou?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Good. Before we get to the first call, I must tell you, I listened to you here on Saturday morning.
Thank you very much. Saturdays from 7 to 10 on WGN Radio.
And I think it's ridiculous. I mean, you're telling someone how to take apart their furnace and rewire their heating elements and put the whole thing back together. And I always feel like calling up and saying, hello, Lou, I'm trying to screw in a light bulb. Do you tighten it to the right or to the left? You should be doing a House Smarts show for dummies.
Yeah. Well, wait. Do we want to? You do call me with those questions.
Well, I always feel so intimidated listening to those callers with you, Lou, because
I can't do
anything. No. And of course, that's why I got into this business.
Right. Exactly. Right. And so, right. The most people get into radio or television because they just don't know how to do anything else. But,
exactly.
I'm just trying to help people navigate living and maintaining their homes every Saturday morning.
And that's why Joan is calling from Park Ridge. Good morning, Joan. Oh, as they say in broadcasting, turn your radio down, please, and talk to Lou and give him your problem. He's got a solution, I'm sure.
Hello?
Go ahead, Joan. Yep.
Okay, yeah. I have a problem with a ticking sound in the wall in the bathroom after I flush the toilet. It almost sounds like something's dripping. And my neighbor upstairs has noticed it, too. She's on the top floor, but she hears it in the ceiling. And there seems to be no rhyme or reason when it happens up there. My husband went up she's on the top floor, into that little crawl space up there, and there isn't any water, even though it sounds like something might be leaking. Everything is dry everywhere.
This only happens when you flush the toilet.
In my house, yes.
In one specific spot.
Yes, in the wall, like behind the toilet. Although, you know, sound travels a little bit.
No, but in other words, it's only one toilet in the home when you flush it. That you have another toilet in the home when you do that. There's no sound there?
Correct.
Okay. Here's what I want you to try. I think that you're getting some movement in the actual pipe the domestic water pipe, when after the water fills the toilet and you're getting some movement in it. You know how the pipe comes out of the wall and feeds the toilet? You know, where there's a valve that comes out of the wall and then there's a little tube that feeds the water to the toilet.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking at the toilet, if you're standing there, if you were a man, you would see it every time you're using the washroom. But I want you to go there and grab that handle and see if you can pull it in or out, if there's any movement whatsoever in it. And then if there is, I want you to pull the handle like so that you're applying a little bit of a force to it and just hold it and then flush that toilet and see if the ticking doesn't go away. And if it does, it could be that that pipe needs to be secured, which could possibly be done on the exterior with a little bit of monkeying around, or you may have to open up the wall to strap it more tightly. I bet it's the domestic water pipe that's moving within the wall, and it's rubbing against the framing of the wall underneath it.
This reminds me of a scene in a movie where they're trying to defuse a bomb, and somebody from the bomb squad is on the phone with the person who's...
Not the red wire! Not the red wire!
Yeah, exactly. So, Joan, you okay? Do you have that? Are you going to be able to deal with that later on today?
Sure, I can have my husband deal with
Perfect.
That later on today.
All right, give it a try.
Thanks for the call, Joan. Lou, I wanted to ask you something. This time of year, everybody needs more humidity. And if you dial up that humidifier, you know, it always says it usually has a setting on it, like if the temperature is 20, set it at this percentage.
Correct.
And so forth. And I always want to hike it way up there to get more humidity, but then, of course, it starts raining in the house. So how do you handle that?
It's a really tough time right now, Bob, because we haven't gotten the kind of cold weather, and our homes have not adjusted to winter weather. I mean, look at the precipitation we have today. Right now, the humidity levels inside the home, moisture levels are very high. And so you don't need to crank it up. My recommendation always to people is you can buy at the hardware store a small little mechanical humidistat. It's about $10 that will tell you the temperature and the humidity level in a room. The problem with most of these humidifier adjusters, you know, the dials, they're either in one room, maybe in the dining room near the thermostat, or they're down in the basement, not registering the moisture level in the home where you want to feel it. So if you've got a living room or dining room where you feel like, gosh, it's so dry in here, buy one of these things for $10, leave it there for 24 hours, and it will tell you what that humidity level is in there. And if you notice that it's below 20-25% is the kind of optimal for winter. We just haven't had winter yet. And you're going to adjust your humidifier to get you to that point. But just keep in mind, it takes a good 24 hours for all of that to change within the home. And the ambient temperature outside has a lot to do with that.
And what do you do if your wife keeps turning the thermostat up and you keep turning it down?
You let your wife do whatever she wants to do. I mean, you know the answer to that.
Great relationship advice also,
right,
from Lou Manfredini. What do you have planned on the big broadcast Saturday morning?
We are going to, I'm sure, talk about the winter weather that's coming our way. And we will be taking listener calls. And we will also talk a little bit about getting organized and maybe being a little greener in the new year with some of the cleaning products that you use inside your home.
And think about doing a little segment. Okay, now we're going to help the dummies. And then you can take calls from people like me who don't know how to find a Phillips screwdriver.
You can call anytime, Bob.
Yeah, okay. All right. Have a great weekend, Lou. Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
It's Lou Manfredini, and the first call sponsored by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy-efficient windows. Thanks for your feedback. Text at 312-981-7200. We were talking about Taco Bell, and of course, 24 hours of sick time is 3 sick days. I said that's like one day. I got to get to the point where my brain actually operates at this hour of the morning. It's not good enough for me just to be here and show up. I've got to think. So from 847 and from 630, thanks for pointing out that 24 hours of sick time is 3 days.
We also didn't help you off the hook there, by the way. I didn't hear a chorus saying, hey, no, Bob, that's 3 days. That's one day.
That's right. I'm counting on you guys.
Right. We're like, well, he must be right because, you know.
Yeah, you're Bob Surratt.
He's Bob Surratt.
Job one is to make sure I don't sound like an idiot. Job two would be to cover weather, traffic, sports, and so forth and so on. And then there was one other message I wanted to acknowledge here somewhere, if I can find it. No. Okay, we'll do that later when we check the mailbox. Let's go out to Las Vegas now. How about that? And from Apt, it's Carl Prouty covering the Consumer Electronics Show. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Are you back in town?
I am. We got in late last night.
Now, for people not familiar with the CES, the annual event, first one took place back in the late 60s, almost 5,000 exhibitors, just about 3 million square feet at the Las Vegas Convention Center, and you've got all sorts of tech companies from actually all over the world. And I take it you and your colleagues covered every square inch, didn't you, Carl?
Every square inch, yeah. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Not quite every square inch, though.
Was there one big story, one object, a new product that seemed like everybody was talking about?
You know, we didn't really notice that there was one thing that everyone was talking about. A lot of the attention this year was on bendable screens. We saw a lot from LG, from a company called Royal. And then you have the Motorola Razr, which is an old phone that people, I mean, not old, but slightly older phone that people might be a little familiar with. Now, they created a version of it that has a bendable screen. So you open it up, and it's just it's a really compact form factor. You can open it up, and it turns into a full size phone. And there's no seam on the phone or anything. It's just all screen. It's really cool.
I saw some interesting pictures from the Consumer Electronics Show. A car equipped with a platform powered by computing technology from Samsung. Now this is a concept car. So is a lot of what you see there and what's being reported now in the news stuff that is really just for the distant future?
There's a lot of that. I would say there's probably more of that than there are products that you're actually going to see in production. I think people kind of bring they want to show off what they can do as opposed to what they've kind of already done. So yeah, you see a lot of concepts, but there are some really cool things that are going to come out. For example, Klipsch, which is a speaker company, a sound company, they brought a pair of these true wireless headphones. And normally, I mean, everyone kind of knows the AirPods by now. And there's other versions out. They're a little bit big in your ears. And these things were tiny. I mean, they almost are not noticeable when you put them in. And they have a battery that lasts 6 hours. So that was kind of a cool thing to see that is actually going to be available coming up soon.
It's apps technologist Carl Prouty. Hang on a minute or two, Carl. I want to get back to you and talk about some of the new gizmos that you saw out there in Las Vegas. The text I was going to acknowledge a minute ago was about our story on green tea. Please tell Mary Vandeveld, so somebody from 847, that Tazo's Zen green tea smells and tastes great. It has a few other herbs, such as lemongrass, which for me add to the pleasant aroma. So you're all set up with that now, Mary?
Oh, I'm going to try that.
Okay.
Anything that tastes better than the regular green tea.
6:43. And Carl Prouty from Apt is on the line with us. He was all over the Consumer Electronics Show the last few days out in Las Vegas. And as we mentioned, there were companies displaying products from everywhere in this country and around the world, more than 4,500 exhibitors from folks big and small from everywhere. And Carl, we talked about the foldable screens, and what about artificially intelligent virtual assistants and connected cars? Did you see a lot of that at the show?
I'm sorry, my phone cut off there. I'm sorry. You said more about the cars?
Yeah, well, maybe you picked up a new phone while you were at the CES. We were reading a lot and seeing a lot on the news about connected cars, artificially intelligent virtual assistants. Do you remember seeing anything interesting in that department?
We did. We actually saw quite a bit of that, more so, I think, than in past years. Mercedes actually had a really nice display where they were showing off some new electric cars and kind of what they could do. And actually, what I found to be the most impressive part about really cool hologram type of headlight, which is something for, and it really stood out and it looked amazing.
And as you roamed around over there, did you see some products and did you think that we got to get this in the store immediately because everybody's going to want this? Or was most of it just sort of futuristic?
No, there was some stuff. And actually, a lot of it had to do with agriculture this year, which was kind of exciting, like LG and GE, for example. Are both coming up with products to allow you to kind of grow your own stuff in your kitchen. So you can grow like microgreens and little vegetables and things like that, which I thought was kind of cool. So hopefully we'll see that in the very short future. They didn't give us timetables for those, though.
I know why you're interested in that, because you can grow some pot at home now. That's why that was popular.
that might have been talked about at the show. Sure,
yeah, I'll bet. And what about audio and video? What did you see in those areas? We talked a little bit the other day about I can't even keep up now. What is it? 8K.
8K, yeah, that was a big theme. That's sort of the kind of up and coming right now. It's still a little on the pricier side, but the picture is phenomenal. Samsung had a couple of really cool TVs. They had a QLED, they call it, which is kind of their technology to enhance colors. But they had a TV there that really had no bezel at all. And it was just, it was neat because all you see is picture. And then they had another TV called the Cero, which we will hopefully be seeing. I mean, these are things that you will eventually see at APT. But they had one called a Cero, which is the way cell phones work now with these different apps that people use. You can turn your phone to either portrait or landscape mode. And this particular TV actually comes on a mount that if you have a particular Samsung phone or the right app, the TV actually rotates along with the phone. So instead of always being in a landscape mode on your wall, you turn your phone and the TV physically turns on your wall to show off the video better.
How soon will this actually be available to the public? Things like that.
They didn't give us specific time frames on those. Typically, you'll see them like late quarter one or quarter, like early quarter two. So hopefully the first half of this year is when we start seeing some of these things show up at the store.
Anybody doing anything interesting in the audio department these days?
Audio department, you know, we actually visited a booth by a company called Clear. And they had a product there that it looked like a little soundbar speaker. It's like a crescent soundbar speaker, and it was fairly small. But you hit a button on the top, and it really makes it feel like there's sound all around you. It just separates everything, and it was really amazing to see all of that sound come out of such a small form factor speaker.
Why is it that they're making all these great high-tech television monitors and the 8K now, and yet most of them don't do a good job with sound, so you have to spend more money to buy one of those sound bars?
Well, I think that's partly to do with the form factor of the TV, because the bigger the speaker, the better the speaker you put into the television, the bigger you have to make the TV, and the whole thing with those now is to just kind of get them so that they're on the wall and all you see is screen. Sony does something really cool with theirs, and we saw it last year and then the year before, but they're kind of improving on it now. But they have these actuators that actually attach to the screen in the back so you don't see them, and they vibrate the glass on the screen. So the sound is basically coming out of the person's mouth on the screen. So instead of coming out of a speaker at the bottom, you actually feel like you're hearing the person talk and the sound is coming right out of their mouth.
I like that. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because the missus and I like to sit up close, like in the first couple rows of a movie theater, because now, you know, we have all these giant televisions and we're used to seeing the picture that big. And a lot of people don't realize at most theaters, you know, there's a lot of space, too, between the screen and the first couple of rows. So sitting up close is not that bad anymore. But the thing I like is the sound, the speakers in theaters, it comes from behind the screen, doesn't it? And so you sit up there, you can hear better. So that's that. I like that concept of the sound actually coming from behind the picture.
And they really do a great job of implementing it. And we do have a couple of those on display at the store right now. So anyone that's in the local area can actually come and kind of get a sense of it. We don't have the newest stuff yet that we just saw, but that will be coming.
And the store, of course, is APT, ABT, in Glenview. It's not APT Electronics anymore, right? It's APT Appliances, because you got everything in there, including Goo Goo Clusters, my favorite candy in your candy shop. And let's see, can I just come in tomorrow for the warm cookies and just leave, just have a cookie and go?
Of course you can. That's what I do that sometimes, too.
It's Carl Prouty, APT technologist. Thanks for the report from Las Vegas, Carl. We'll talk to you down
the
road.
All right.
And the news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. How you doing this morning? Better, probably, because it's Friday, finally, 7:08. And we like to cover extremely local news here on the broadcast. And that's why the editor-in-chief of Block Club Chicago joins us, Seamus Toomey. Good morning to you. Well, let me turn your microphone on here. Well, let's try this one. There we go. Hi.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm all right. Just learning my way through here. Let's start off talking about what's going on along the banks of the Chicago River that is upsetting to a lot of people.
Right. There's been a lot of
riverbank restoration going on along the Chicago River. It's long overdue, if you ask the Friends of the Chicago River. But this particular work near Legion Park at Bryn Mawr in the North Branch of the Chicago River really caught the whole neighborhood off guard this week. Crews showed up, bulldozers and chainsaws took out hundreds of trees along the riverbanks, and the neighbors came out to basically being able to see straight across the river. They're looking right at the big buildings across the river, and they were a little freaked out about what was happening. It turned out it was all pre-planned. It had been announced years ago, but the rub to them was that they hadn't heard the announcement years ago. They hadn't gotten any notification. The alderman up there also didn't know about it, so he's fielding all these calls about what's going on. The Army Corps of Engineers said, hey, listen, this is going to be good. We're coming back and we're planning native species. We're taking out all the invasive stuff, but it's going to take some time for this stuff to grow back. But it's a little jarring to wake up and all your trees are gone.
So we trust them. And this is at Legion Park on Bryn Mawr, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's just north of the Bryn Mawr bridge right there. The Friends of the Chicago River, they reminded us yesterday that they said, hey, listen, if you plant native species, you get 86% of the stormwater gets absorbed in native species. Non-native ones is something like 28%. So it's going to be a good thing. It's just going to look a little bare for a while.
Let's jump to Westtown now and talk about a group of Australian Americans living in Chicago and what they're doing.
Right, there's a small but growing number of Australians living in Chicago, a lot in the Westtown area, and they've been trying to figure out what they can do to help their homeland, which, as everyone knows, is just being ravaged by brush fires right now. One of the folks, a woman by the name of Carla Cutting, her husband's a Skokie firefighter from Australia. She and several of her friends have gotten together and organized a big fundraiser. They've been putting it together furiously over the last couple days, and they've just locked it down. It's February 13th at a place called Tipsy Space, 1223 West Grand Avenue. We've got details on our site about how you can buy tickets for it, or you can donate to their cause. The money's going to a place called Blaze Aid, which is an Australian volunteer organization that helps in the wake of natural disasters.
And for folks who are not familiar with your organization, Block Club Chicago, again, quickly, you've got a network of neighborhood reporters, don't you?
That's right. We are a daily news website covering the neighborhoods of Chicago. We used to be called DNA Info, and we reassembled it out of the wreckage of DNA Info when we were shut down a couple years ago. We put a reporter in a few neighborhoods all around town. We've got nine of them now, and we just sort of cover everything that moves, big stories, small stories, whatever.
And no matter where you live, you're going to be interested in a couple of stories coming right up from Logan Square and also Bronzeville.
For News at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Roan, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
It is 7:17, continuing with the editor-in-chief of Block Club Chicago, Seamus Toomey, with some extremely local news. Let's jump into the Logan Square neighborhood. And one of the things I love about Chicago that I've always loved about this area, all the ma-and-pa businesses, the small operations, the independent folks who really, I think, make up the fabric of our community. And there is some interesting things going on in Logan Square today. Tell us about that, Seamus.
Absolutely. Anyone that's familiar with Logan Square or driven up and down North Milwaukee Avenue remembers the old Mega Mall, which was the flea market. It was really down on its luck over the last few years. It got torn down, and people have been waiting a long time for the replacement for it. It's this hulking new development. It's going to be 220 apartments, shops. There's a Target, ice cream shop. It's a whole little neighborhood in itself, but it really has some mixed emotions from the local business owners. There's a lot of excitement about all of a sudden they've got hundreds of new potential customers moving into the neighborhood, but there's also some competing businesses that are moving in as well. So our reporter out there, Mina Bloom, talked to the to all of the different, the liquor stores, the vape shops, the toy stores. The toy store, for example, is closing down this week to put on a new, you know, to clean up a fresh coat of paint. You know, they want to put their best foot forward for all these new folks that will be moving in soon. But other ones are a little nervous. The construction has really screwed that street up for a couple years now as they're building it, and they're all, businesses down a little bit. They're all sort of bracing for trying to get through this stretch.
That's right around Milwaukee near Fullerton or a little south of there.
Yeah, it's real close to Logan Boulevard. So really close to the heart of Logan Square. And it's been one of those, you know, I wouldn't say it's the Lincoln Yards. It's not that big, but it's one of those hot button topics. Like, when is this going to be built? What's it going to be? You know, and, you know, RIP Mega Mall, which, you know, employed a lot of people, but it was, like I said, it was starting to fade towards the end.
And talking about small family businesses, tell us about this new coffee shop that I think folks are going to enjoy in that area and maybe come to from other areas.
Yeah, I like to laugh that there's going to be no coffee shop open and or close in Chicago without Block Club writing about it. So this sort of goes right in that vein. It's called the Sipping Turtle, and it's at the corner of Milwaukee and Central Park, which, you know, every corner of Milwaukee is a six corner, you know, weird intersection. But this is a block of land right there with a really huge footprint. So it's going to be a large cafe. It's a couple that has never been in the retail business, so this is going to be interesting to see their first venture. Gentleman by the name of Peter Shen and his wife Sirinaporn Tenakom. She's from Thailand, so there's going to be some Thai flavor to it. They're going to serve pastries and Asian buns and bubble tea, and they're really trying to be a great neighbor, welcoming in people. Interested to see. Logan Square is filled with mom and pop coffee shops, but, you know, a lot of them are doing well, so this one is joining the mix.
And finally, we've got this story about Misericordia's expansion plan in West Ridge and a bit of a battle between them and Preservation Chicago. What's this all about?
This is really a battle of heavyweights, in my opinion. Misericordia, as some people know, especially from their tag days when they send everyone out on the street corners, is a behemoth of a charitable institution in West Ridge, right there on Ridge. They serve developmentally disabled children and adults. This is really sort of the gold standard spot. If you have a child that you're really looking for long-term care, when folks can get their child into Misericordia, it is really just a burden off them. They have a huge waiting list. 300 plus families are on it, and so they've bought some adjoining land, and they want to build 16 single family style homes that could house up to 150 people. The problem is the land that they bought, they want to demolish a 100-year-old building there, and it was built by architect George Marr, who's sort of a contemporary of Frank Lloyd Wright. Louis Sullivan built a lot of homes on the North Shore. He was known for his residential work in prairie style, and Misericordia wants to knock this down, and Preservation Chicago and Landmarks Illinois are trying desperately to prevent this. They want it to be retrofitted, find Misericordia, have them come up with some new plan to utilize it, build the homes around it. Misericordia needs a zoning change to get this done, so ultimately the alderman's going to have to get involved, and I do not envy Andre Vasquez, who's going to have to, you know, talk to Sister Rosemary about whether this can be done or not.
Good luck.
Yeah, she's, as anyone knows, Sister Rosemary, she's not someone you want to mess with. Ask Rahm Emanuel, who got screamed at, you know, I think his first couple weeks in office for charging the water bill to Misericordia.
Yeah, and it takes guts to scream at Rahm, doesn't it? 7:23. I did want to mention this 16-year-old who started the writing club at her high school in Bronzeville. Tell us about her, Seamus.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite story of the day yesterday. This is a 16-year-old girl. Her name is Jalay Harvey. She's a junior at De La Salle Institute, Mayor Daley's high school down in Bronzeville. She is already a published novelist. She is a fascinating person, and she's really trying to teach her fellow teens and even adults, if they want to get involved, just sort of the value of self-expression, getting your words down on paper and getting them out of your head. So she started a writing club on the South Side. They meet in the Kenwood neighborhood now. It's called Junior Writers Block. We've got information on how to join on our site, blockclubchicago.org. But yeah, she's really fascinating, very thoughtful, and you know, sorry if you don't see this energy and enthusiasm to sort of express herself and help others from, you know, frankly, from people that young.
7:24, that's your neighborhood news, extremely local, courtesy Block Club Chicago. Seamus Toomey, you have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Bob.
I'd like to get a little extra report in here on traffic and weather since so much is going on. Don't want to make you wait for the 7:30 news for that. First, let's go to the traffic center. And Mary, the update, please, on the garbage outbound Ryan. What's the latest?
Still out there cleaning up about 80,000 pounds of garbage that was strewn all over the road after this earlier accident involving a rollover. So everything's still blocked off outbound Ryan at the Skyway. The locals closed and traffic's being forced into the express there, so it's still going on.
And in the weather department, Steve's in the newsroom, keeping an eye on that. Looking out the window here of the Bob Surratt building, high atop East Wacker Drive, lots of low clouds and fog, and falling temperatures today, and messy stuff all coming in tonight, right?
That's absolutely right. It's all quiet now, but later on this afternoon into this evening, the rain will start. Some heavy rain could fall over parts of the area, maybe 2 to 3 inches, and then it'll start turning into that wintry mix from the north to the south with up to maybe a foot of snow along the Illinois-Wisconsin border.
Thank you, sir. Complete update coming up in less than 5 minutes, 7:26 right now. We will be talking to Dan Hampton here coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll get a preview of the NFL divisional playoffs. And besides that, sports-wise, nothing good in the Blackhawks department.
No.
Is there, Dave?
No. Well, I mean,
at least not last
night. Not last night.
Yeah.
No, there really wasn't.
And is the injury list going down, I hope? I mean,
it is getting a little better. They got Drake Caggiula back last night. Robin Leonard is close to returning. Corey Crawford played last night. And every day brings Brandon Saad another day closer. But, yeah, they're still Dylan Strome was out last night. So
we need everybody.
They still got a lot of names on that list.
Well, one thing that felt good today, given the impending doom later this weekend in the weather department, seeing the sports section of the Tribune and that line, Royals at White Sox, March 26, 1:10 p.m., guaranteed rate field.
How about that? Not all that far away, and what are we, about a little over a month from pitchers and catchers reporting? So.
Yep, and everybody still talking about the lack of activity from the Cubs, but As several people have pointed out to me via text and email the last couple of days here, look, they have a championship team there that they're trying to keep intact. It's not like they have to go out and keep building. It's a matter of just maintaining and then figuring out how you're going to use the money you have, which I guess is not too much money at this point, right?
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way. I mean, they're also still waiting on the Chris Bryant grievance, the service time grievance thing. So that's kind of got them a little bit handcuffed. They have their convention next week, and Sox Fest is in a couple of weeks. So there's going to be a lot of baseball talk for the remainder of January.
And the Sox did sign Encarnacion officially now, right?
Yes. Edwin Encarnacion officially in the fold. They've added a lot of power to this lineup. And they already had the American League RBI champ. They had the batting champ, and Tim Anderson, some promising young talent, Eloy Jimenez, and now you've added Luis Robert will be here in the mix. So it's this team has got a lot of pop.
One of the best relief pitchers, one of the most effective guys on the North side last year, Steve Cishek, now a White Sox.
Yeah, he signed with the Sox this week. And Sox already have a pretty solid bullpen. So another arm for them. That's an area where the Cubs still kind of need to figure it out.
Yes, they do. 729, we'll talk football with Dan Hampton coming up right after the news update. Time to wake up the Danimal, much more dangerous than any coyote. It's Dan Hampton, and this segment is brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, beautiful, and, you know, it's interesting. On Fridays, I actually do a radio program with a radio station out of Little Rock, and it's hard to believe, but it's the best weekend of the year for the NFL, and everyone's excited. And then on Monday night, we have the national championship. So this could be like the, you know, the world championship football weekend. I know everybody calls it Super Bowl, but that's only one game. You get five this weekend, so we're ready to go.
Now, before I turn things over to Mr. Annett here in the sports department, yeah, when you go back to Arkansas, you're like the king of Arkansas, aren't you?
Well, I don't think so. You know, what's really cool is, you know, for, you know, so much of my life career, you know, it was Chicago-centric. And even though the Razorbacks are still, a big part of, you know, my life, my history, and so forth. But, being a part of that 85 Bear team, you know, which a lot of people obviously, I don't know if you know, this summer we were named the greatest team of all time. Okay, well, we're named the most favorite Bear team of all time. Well, I'm also a part of the 1978 Orange Bowl team with Lou Holtz, a head coach that went and beat the number one team in America in the Orange Bowl, the OU Sooners, and that was voted the favorite. So I'm very, very blessed. I'm on both teams' favorite team of all time. So it's a good thing. It's a real good thing.
All right, since you brought it up, before we get to the NFL, the national championship game on Monday night, after that performance by Burrow of LSU, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Clemson is so good, Dan, but I mean, can they stop LSU?
Well, a couple of things real quick. Mr. Cat, you have been watching college football for 30 years, whatever. Have you ever seen a singular team be so decorated? Think about this. We know he won the Heisman, mm-hmm. but they won Coach of the Year. Yeah, I mean, they've got they have to have a semi-trailer call the awards back to Baton Rouge, after the season. All the awards that they won. So will all of this success affect them? And that's one of the great things that college coaches have to deal with. These young minds are 18, 19, 20 years old. Are they going to be, we're great, and you know what? I'm going to have that second banana split and not work, so hard this week in practice. I don't know. Will LSU be at a razor's edge? Will Joe Burrow, after winning the Davey O'Brien and all these other awards, will he be as good as what we've seen this year? And he was special. All those things, that's going to be a big part of it. But the other is, not so fast. Remember Clemson, even though they were ravaged by the NFL draft last year, they had a lot of really good players that are now in the NFL. They're not exactly the same team, but they're very, very good. They have won 29 straight games. And when you have a team, especially with a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, who he's almost impervious to pressure, it's like, he's a veteran. He's almost like a miniature Aaron Rodgers. He's just, come on, try to get me, and he'll beat you. So it's going to be a great game. The spread is what the spread is. I'm just telling you, it's going to be a one-score game, and it's going to be very close at the end, but it'll be a great game for us all to watch. But I think LSU probably is so much more talented, especially their offense. you know, they're scary on offense. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out.
What else to watch for this weekend? More from Dan Hampton coming right up. Bob Surratt, along with Dave Ennett here on Sports, talking to Dan Hampton. Dan, I find it very interesting that we think of you as being indestructible, yet when I was looking into your past, I saw this note about how you suffered a disabling fall from a tree that kept you out of organized sports from grade 7 through 10. What were you doing in that tree exactly? Do you remember?
No, yeah. I was being a knothead. And this was long before cell phones and computers. And we were out playing in the summer under a tree. We had a tree house, and I was up above it. My brother was shooting at me with a BB gun. So I was trying to climb higher, and I grabbed a branch and it broke, and next thing you know, I'm in a wheelchair for the next 5 months. And hey, all I can tell you is, you know, those are the moments that make life rewarding.
Yeah, I'm glad Mike Ditka kept you out of trees during your time here with the Bears.
All right, let's look at the games tomorrow. First of all, the drumbeat has gotten louder for Baltimore as the season's gone on, with justification. Yet there's this feeling, if Tennessee could go into Foxborough and beat New England, why can't they beat the Baltimore Ravens?
Two different kind of, completely different kind of animals. Think about New England. They are what you could best refer to as a finesse team. It was Tom Brady in a precision passing game and a, you know, kind of a paper cut running game. Well, Baltimore, completely different. They are hands down the most physical team I've seen in the NFL in 10 years. And they line up and say, hey, we're going to run right here. What are you going to do about it? And with Mark Ingram, even the second back is over 700 yards. They lead the league in offense. They lead the league in scoring points. They lead the league in running the ball. And Lamar Jackson, as soon as you start worrying about that run and the safety start walking up and getting in the box, he's able to make a big play, whether it's running or throwing. And again, like I said, beating New England is one thing. This is a whole new ball game. And Tennessee, you got to, you know, clap for the Wolfman. Vrabel not only went into Foxborough but beat his old teammate Tom Brady and his old coach, but this is Baltimore has been gaining speed all year. They're a pretty special football team.
All right. Minnesota, we talked about the Saints and Vikings last weekend, and I said I was firmly in the Saints' corner. I think Minnesota opened a lot of eyes last week. Now they go into San Francisco. 49ers have been sitting around waiting. Vikings played last week and had a huge win in New Orleans. Can they do it again?
Well, I don't know. But I'll tell you this. We all gave the Vikings no chance a week ago, and now we all say, wait a minute, maybe we counted them out too fast. Look, the Bears beat the Vikings twice. So in a lot of our estimation, you know, they can't be that great. But they've got some good players. And a lot of what happened last week, the Vikings made some plays, and they were pretty good. But a lot of it was what New Orleans didn't do. New Orleans, to me, you know, you hang this on Sean Payton. He's done a really bad job of preparing his team in the playoffs the last 3 years. The last 2 years, they're 13-3 and get beat at home. So, you know, those are crazy things. And I said this on Monday. You know, the two all-time leaders in yardage and touchdown passes both got beat at home by a number 6 seed football team. So, you know, again, you know, yay for the Vikings. They beat the Saints, but the Saints, they imploded. They did not play anywhere near what they're capable of. But let's talk about the 49ers. They had the number 1 seed for a reason. You know, they went into New Orleans and beat the Saints. They went into Seattle and beat the Seahawks. So they've got some toughness. They got some grit. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo has been okay. A lot of people saying, is he just riding the bus or is he driving it? Well, we're going to find out tomorrow. He'll have to take the wheel and he'll have to make some big plays. But the 49ers defense is as good as there is in the NFL. And I don't know if the Vikings can do that 2 weeks in a row.
Got two double-digit favorites this weekend. Baltimore is one. Kansas City is the other, playing at home against Houston. And everybody's been looking forward to a Kansas City-Baltimore AFC championship game. Everybody outside of New England, that is. Did Houston have a shot tomorrow against the Chiefs, or on Sunday, rather?
Sure. They've always got a shot with that quarterback. You know, we saw what he was able to do coming from 16 points down, 16-0, and he makes some plays, and they wind up, you know, winning this game. But Kansas City, much, much better team than Buffalo, especially on offense. You know, Buffalo was very, pedestrian. They, you know, their quarterback made a couple of plays, but this week, completely different animal. The Kansas City Chiefs on offense are, you know, the new globetrotters on offense. They, you know, Travis Kelce, as good as there is. Tyreek Hill, the fastest player in the NFL. Sammy Watkins, the running game, Ashady and Damian Williams. He's got a plethora of weapons. And the offensive line is one of the top five in the league. So, yeah, will their defense hold up? I think so. They've got two great defensive linemen that can rush the pass here if they get a lead. I kind of think Kansas City tries to jump out. After what everybody saw last week, where the road teams came in and put knots on the home team's head, I think you're going to see all of these home teams say, we're not going to sit around and wait for the third and fourth quarter. We're going to try to put this thing away. And I think Kansas City is the most capable of all the teams to do that.
So let's see, Dan. We have the Vikings and the 49ers Saturday afternoon, the Titans and the Ravens Saturday night, then the Texans and the Chiefs Sunday afternoon, and the Sunday night game, Seattle at Green Bay.
Yeah, and that's the one I think Camp. I think most people are really looking forward to that game. Although the weather for Green Bay, they're talking about possibly up to 10 inches of snow Saturday ahead of that game. That'd make it perfect at Lambeau Field.
Almost on cue, right?
Yep.
Yeah, hey, we need some snow. We got the Seahawks coming in, and yeah, to the victor goes the spoils. Green Bay was able to win 13 games this year. And the three losses, the one common denominator is the fact that Aaron Jones only had about 40 yards total from scrimmage, catching and running them. I don't think they're going to make that mistake again. They're going to try to get him going, feature him. And Aaron Rodgers, love him or hate him, he hasn't had a great year, but he's still very capable. Look for him to make two or three big plays, especially, you know, those flash plays down the field. I like Green Bay. A lot of people are saying, oh, no, Seattle. Seattle, come on. Seattle, they had their hands full with Josh McCown last week. Aaron Rodgers, completely different player.
Make your Super Bowl party plans Sunday, February 2nd. That's the date. Hard Rock Stadium in Miami this year. All right, so Dave, are you going to pick? Leave me out of this. You and Dan,
all right,
take care.
Well, okay, let's go to tomorrow's games. Minnesota and San Francisco. I'll go with the 49ers, but I think they're 7-point favorites. I think it's going to be a little closer than that tomorrow against the Vikings.
Yeah. I like all the favorites, but in all the games other than Kansas City, I like the underdogs to hang around.
Okay, I think we're in agreement. Although the one that really works, Russell Wilson scares. If I'm a Green Bay fan, that concerns me, him coming in there. But I think Green Bay is able to find a way to beat Seattle at Lambeau Field. And I agree with you. I've got Kansas City. Had them last week. Had them in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to keep them there. So we'll see if they can get by Baltimore if they win tomorrow or Sunday.
And all we can hope for is maybe next year we'll be talking about our beloved Bears in the divisional round championships.
Yeah, and that reminds me, tip of the cap to Kyle Fuller on the Pro Bowl roster now, right?
Right, and you know, at some point, obviously, he is, you know, a special player. Didn't have his best year like he did a year ago, but he's still very capable.
Dan Hampton and Eric, brought to you by Chevy.
And then of course, Tom Brady leading the Bears offense next year.
So. Oh, yeah, all right, dream on. Have a good weekend, Dan.
No, don't discount Eli Manning. Go Bears.
There you go.
We've got the entertainment report coming up after our 8 o'clock news report, and something interesting for Nanny fans of the old program. Also, Buddy Guy, John Legend, Alicia Keys in the entertainment news this morning, and that nutty Joaquin Phoenix is added again. Plus, a fan favorite from the days of Grease and even 77 Sunset Strip is gone. We'll tell you about that and more coming right up. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. How you doing on time? Almost 8:12. Dean Richards has the sickies, so we'll handle the entertainment headlines today. By the way, everybody's sick. There's a story out this morning about this flu season being one of the worst in decades. Doctors seeing a spike in emergency room visits. The number of reported cases of the flu increased sharply right after Christmas. The numbers continuing to rise. Wash your hands. Be careful out there. And hopefully Dean will be back with us on Monday. Meantime, I love this time of year because Buddy Guy does his dates at his club, Buddy Guy's Legends in South Wabash. He's on during the weekend, also Thursday, and other dates throughout January. Check him out if you've never seen Buddy Guy. January is the month to do that. It's Chance the Rapper taking the stage at the 2020 NBA All-Star Game. He'll be the featured performer alongside Common, John Legend, Foo Fighters, Alicia Keys, Chris Martin, and Earth, Wind, and Fire are set to perform at a Prince tribute concert this month. You know, they do this now after the Grammys. They'll salute Prince, they'll tape that, and they'll broadcast that show on CBS later this year. Remember the TV show The Nanny? Still watch it in reruns. Fran Drescher bringing that now to Broadway. And Joaquin Phoenix, ready for the latest nutty story about him? We all heard about his performance at the Golden Globes, and, you know, they had that plant-based dinner. Well, now it has been revealed Joaquin Phoenix is planning to wear the same tuxedo throughout this year's award season in an attempt to reduce waste. And sad to report, a familiar face has passed away. Now, this is interesting. This can determine how old you are, because the headline, Ed Burns, the actor who played Vince Fontaine in Grease, dies at 87. But for some of us, this is how we remember Ed Burns. Yes, 77 Sunset Strip. And Ed Burns as Kooky was quite the idol back in the day. And I'm glad there are a few of you who remember that.
That was back when there was greasy kid stuff.
that's right. Yeah. Ed Burns went on to be in many, many, many television shows and movies. And he was Vince Fontaine in Grease. Ed Burns passing away at the age of 87. Coming up, Marianne Marciano joins us. Well, that could be interesting. The producers are kind enough to prepare all sorts of informational sheets and bios for me to help me with the guests. And it says here about our next guest that she is married to me. Let's say hello to Marianne Marciano. How you doing, Marianne?
Well, I'm glad somebody's reminding you about that, Bob.
Yeah, well, I try not to forget that. Now, since I've started here, we've received a number of messages and people wondering where you are, what you're doing. So what are you doing anyway?
Yeah, this is a great opportunity for me to let you know.
Yes, it is. I'm curious.
Well, as you know, Bob, I'm always really busy with our social media for all of our outlets. And also, I have been busily working and compiling a lot of information that either I have or we have gathered over the years from all the experts that we have interviewed. And as you know, we have our Savvy Planet brand, which is basically a way to allow people to
the park district has already
Whoops, wait a minute. Somebody opened the button there by mistake. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Marianne.
So it's all about making smart decisions about your life. And we have interviewed, and I have interviewed so many experts for all of our news and entertainment shows, you know, experts from like Rachel Ray to Martha Stewart to Dr. Oz, and chefs and doctors dispensing medical advice and travel experts and all the experts. And I am compiling all this information and putting it into a book that's going to be out later this year, and basically just offering tips on all these areas of life. And I thought that I would give you, because we have this huge winter storm coming, and you know how much I hate winter, and I hate the cold, and I have a few winter survival tips that I wanted to tell you about.
Okay, so these are some bits of information that you have picked up from people in different areas of expertise. So give us some examples.
Okay, so for example, how to survive winter. These are some of these are like really common sense things, but sometimes we just don't think about them. Like, for example, getting enough light. That is something that, as you know, sometimes at the end of the day, I will say to you, oh my God, I haven't even left the house yet. And I like, and now it's nighttime again. And that can make you, like, over the course of a few days, like, feel really depressed. So one of my tips is get out of the house early. Like, make sure that you get out of the house and so that your body doesn't feel like it's actually hibernating, so that you can get a little bit of sun. One of my favorite tricks during the winter, and I do this all the time, is I love going to a plant store. I go to the nursery or Home Depot or wherever there's a greenhouse, and I stand there with the tropical plants. And as you know, I'm a tropical girl.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have that Cuban blood.
Yes, but just being surrounded by like bromeliads and all these plants that makes you, just looking at the greenery changes my mood completely, plus the humidity that's in the air, because they have to keep those rooms very humid. It's so, like, my skin is so happy when I'm in there. So I love to go and hang out there. And then now, you know, I mean, even though it's January, some of the spring plants are starting to come in already. So maybe buy a couple of plants and take them home.
Yeah, and having a lot of the doctors and experts we've interviewed over the years also talked about how important light is at this time as far as fighting depression.
Yes. I mean, I actually have a light box, but I would rather go out, and if it's a sunny day, I will look for any excuse to leave the house, to be outside, park far away from wherever you're going so that you have to walk in the light, because, you know, it's not pleasant when it's super cold. And we don't have that many days that are light. And then there's also, you know, fighting the dryness, because, I mean, it is so dry right now. And, you know, there are the common sense things like drink water. I mean, you're not going to be as thirsty as you might be on a hot summer day, but make yourself keep drinking water. I don't know if you remember this, Bob, but I think it was about last year, I went to the holistic doctor that I go to, and he said, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, I'm here because I'm dry. Like, everywhere, I cannot, no matter how much water I drink, I'm, you know, my legs are flaky. I mean, I'm just like super dry, and I hate this feeling. And he said, take more omega-3 fish oil supplements. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't want to dispense medical advice, but I'm telling you, I started taking an extra giant omega-3 fish oil supplement, you know, pill, and within a couple of weeks, I could see the difference. I mean, I really, I had it every single day. I give it to you every day. So how dry are you, Bob?
Well, you know what? Today, not too bad. But tonight, when it gets colder, I think I will be dry. But you got to, and I remember this, too, from several men and women who really are expert in this area. Some of the fish oil supplements are better than others, and it's different than, and then if you're eating fish, there are certain kinds of fish that will give you the best omega-3s, like salmon, right?
Yes, you're right. And also the quality of the fish oil, because it depends on what fish they get it from, and that's why you're going to see that if you spend a lot of money on your fish oil supplement rather than get the, you know, the cheap one that they sell at the drugstore, that you're going to be a lot better off. I mean, it really, and also they, for some reason, they don't smell like fish oil when you get the high quality stuff. But there are other things that you can do to, you know, other remedies that are natural for dry skin. Like, I was reading about a skincare doctor who was saying that you should put honey on your face and on your elbows and on your knees and any other dry patches that you have. And of course, then jump in the shower after you've had it on for a few minutes. But I have a friend who uses coconut oil on her hair and on her skin. And that's a very inexpensive remedy that, you know, there's nothing more pure than coconut oil going into your skin. Another trick is to always keep a couple of spoons in your freezer, because this dryness will make you have puffy eyes. And if you put these spoons in the freezer and you just lie down and put them on your eyes, it brings down that puffiness immediately.
Good thing you didn't see me when I was leaving the house this morning. let me just point one thing out about what did you say about putting honey on your face?
Yeah, take honey and put it on your face as a moisturizer, and on your elbows and on your knees. I went to a Korean spa and they covered my entire body with honey. And of course, you know, then they wash it off. But
I think I saw that movie one time when you weren't in the house. hey, have you seen the price of honey though? That's a little expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But have you seen the price of some of these moisturizers? I mean, it is really expensive also. So this is just a natural remedy. And then there are other like things that I never would have thought about that Harvard Health just came out with a list of ideas of what to do about dry skin in the winter. And one of the things that they're saying is to use a humidifier set to around 60%. And that should be enough to replenish the top layer of your skin.
Hang on, Marianne. Also, I'm sorry. Go ahead. And then I want to squeeze in one quick call. What were you saying?
Okay. Sure. Also, don't take long showers, only like 5 minutes. Don't use super hot water. Use lukewarm water because you don't want to wash away your natural oils. And don't use perfumey soaps or deodorant soaps. They are your enemies right now. You can use bath oils. But just be careful because they make your tub, you know, a little slippery. Don't use scrubs or sponges or washcloths that are going to take away that top layer of your skin.
But Terry wants to know something specific, though. Sorry to interrupt. Terry, okay. What's your question?
Hi. You know what? I'm on my Alexa, so I don't know if this is going to actually be a good phone call. But I do want to know, what is the fish oil that you take?
Okay, thanks, Terry.
Okay.
Go ahead. We got 30 seconds here, Marianne.
It's not cheap, okay? So I use the one that the holistic doctor recommends, which is the one made by Metagenics.
Okay.
I mean, that's the personal brand that I use. I use Metagenics. It is not cheap, but I used to buy it like at Costco, and he said, do not take that stuff. Or Walgreens or CVS. I mean, I used to buy that because I thought, you know, it's, you know, whatever.
Expensive fish oil and expensive honey. Now you know why I had to go back to work. It's Marianne Merciano. There's more on her site, savvy-planet.com. Thank you, Marianne, and I will
Thank
see you
Bob.
Soon. Okay.
Okay, take care. Bye, everybody.
Have a good one.
You too, bye.
You know what TikTok is? Have you heard of TikTok? If you have kids around, you know it's the smartphone app that especially the teens love. It's used by hundreds of millions of people around the world. And apparently there are serious vulnerabilities with TikTok that allows hackers to manipulate user data and reveal personal information. There's new research on this. The weaknesses would have allowed attackers to send TikTok users messages that carried malicious links. Once users click on the links, attackers are able to take control of their accounts, including uploading videos or gaining access to private videos. A separate flaw allowed researchers to retrieve personal information from TikTok user accounts through the company's website. They say that the vulnerabilities they found were all core to TikTok's systems. And now they say they fixed all of this back in December. They said that, but maybe not. The app, whose parent company is based in Beijing, has been called the last sunny corner on the internet. It allows users to post short creative videos, which can easily be shared on various apps. It has also become a target of lawmakers and regulators who are suspicious of Chinese technology. Several branches of the military here have barred personnel from having the app on government-issued smartphones. The vulnerabilities discovered by researchers are likely to compound those concerns. It's really unbelievable. It's something you never heard about, has exploded over the past 2 years. It's a rare Chinese internet success story in the West. Get this, TikTok has been downloaded more than 1.5 billion, that's billion with a B, times. Near the end of 2019, TikTok appeared to be on its way to more downloads for this year than even the apps from Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. There you go. TikTok. Yeah, something to talk to your kids about, and they'll be
and
very
worry
impressed.
About.
And worry about, yeah. Like, we need something else.
Yeah.
But my 19-year-old daughter showed me the TikTok stuff recently, and I, you know, who knew, right? And now, apparently, it's dangerous. Well, Troy Murray of the Blackhawks is going to join us here in a couple minutes. We'll talk to him about what's going on with the Hawks. They lost last night, and let's see, they're playing again tonight and tomorrow?
No, tomorrow.
Just tomorrow the Ducks.
They're going to wait till you're there.
Yeah, okay, that's right. And, well, with the Ducks, maybe they'll look good, we hope, right? I mean,
hope so.
You know, they're due. And also, as we mentioned earlier, Fuller going to the Pro Bowl. Well, that's nice. Bears optimism here in this playoff season. As I mentioned here, I kind of drop out of the football scene after the Bears drop out, and then I'll get back into it when we get to the Super Bowl, which is first weekend in February, I think.
Yeah, February 2nd. But honestly, this weekend, I think these are great games.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you just says it's going to be snowing and raining, and it'd be a great day to sit around and watch football.
It will. It is 8:47, and I'm Judd Surratt's Uncle Bob with Troy Murray now from Blackhawks WGN Radio, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Good morning, Troy. How you doing?
Morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. And I wish we had something better to talk with you and Dave Ennett about. Last night, this is what kind of night it was. Two empty netters against the Hawks, including one by their goalie. You know that's not going to be a good evening when that happens, right?
You know, it's something that's very rare to see. So it was kind of unique. It hadn't happened, I think, since 2013. So, you know, for Nashville, the Pecorini, the goaltender, quite an accomplishment for the Blackhawks. You know, they can't get behind 3-0 and expect good things to happen.
Troy, it's kind of a head-scratcher. You look at the way they've gone on the road and had some success, and I've said it a couple times this morning, this was supposed to be a big week for them at home, especially going head-to-head the last two games against Calgary and Nashville, a couple teams in the mix. You know, is it something where they come home, get kind of tight, or they just haven't been able to match whatever intensity they bring on the road here at home, which seems kind of weird?
It is, and it, you know, I think for everybody involved, it's frustrating because they do show such, you know, promise, especially on the road. They won some big games lately on the road, and all of a sudden they come home, and with a four-game homestand, I mean, basically when you look at the standings, they needed to win at least three out of the four games, and now, you know, they've got to work hard to get a split against Anaheim tomorrow. So that consistency that you're looking for in this team has still been kind of wavering, and that's the one thing that Jeremy Colliton wants. He wants a constant in how they play, and you know, after the first period and a half, they started to play well. There was desperation in their game, but not being able to play up to where they needed to, the level they needed to at the beginning of the game, is very frustrating, I think, for everybody involved.
Hey, Troy, how much do you miss actually being on the ice? How has your transition been? I mean, you've been doing the broadcasting now for like 20 years, but do you still miss it?
Well, you know what, that's an interesting question, Bob, because like in a game last night, I find myself getting involved in the broadcast as a player rather than a broadcaster. I was getting frustrated, and that was the ex-hockey player in me, where you're going like, come on, guys, somebody do something to change what's happening here. And when you're down a couple goals and all of a sudden, you know, you're down three and there's nothing that they're doing to change the game. I kind of wanted to get out there and, you know, try and run somebody over or change the tempo of the game, change the momentum of the game. And that's where, even after 20 years of broadcasting, you know, at 57 years of age, I still have that kind of fire to get out there when I get frustrated as a broadcaster, as a former player.
Will you ever, before games? No. I know the answer to that one. But do you ever give advice to some of the young guys?
Yeah, you know what, Bob? People have asked me that before, but that's not my job. You know, if they come up to me, and I have a great relationship with the players, I'm happy to talk to them. If they say, you know, Troy, what do you see? And I'll give them my opinion, but it is certainly not my place to go up to them and approach them and say, you know, here, this is what I think you need to be doing, because, you know, I would be overstepping what I should be doing as a broadcaster.
And one more shift is clearly limited to a pregame ceremony, correct?
they had to put a cane around my neck and drag me off the bench because I wanted to sit there and stay there the whole game.
All right, so Robin Lehner sounds like he's maybe going to be back next game or two.
Well, if he's good enough to back up, he's good enough to play. They sent Kevin Lankinen back down to Rockford. You know, let's just say that Corey Crawford in the first shift of the game gets hurt. If Robin Lehner is not 100% and ready to go, he wouldn't be in a backup position. So just taking that into consideration, I would assume that whatever decision Jeremy Colliton makes for the game tomorrow, Robin Lehner is available for him to be the goaltender.
What's Dylan Strome's status now, Troy? I mean, I know he was out last night. Might he be back?
You know, I would think that tomorrow is pushing it. They don't play until next Tuesday on the road. You know, when you get an ankle injury or a sprain or whatever he had, even if it's a mild one, those tend to linger a little bit. And, you know, you feel good walking, but when you get into skates and you're cutting and you're doing all the things as you do as a hockey player, it's a little bit of a different animal. So I would not think that he would be playing tomorrow, but he's listed as day-to-day, which is good, which means it's soon.
All right, so the Pekka-Rinne goal, and you were kind of, John's call, you were kind of chuckling a little bit because it's only happened 12 times in NHL history. And at that point of the game, they had already scored the one empty net goal, so they had a two-goal lead, and the outcome had pretty much been sealed. How many of those have you seen in your career?
That's the first.
Really?
And I think that as far as I can remember, because I was thinking about it last night, I've never seen it at the NHL level. I don't think I ever played in a game or played against a team in a game where they scored in that capacity. I don't recall it as a broadcaster. I'm pretty sure as a broadcaster I haven't seen it. The funny thing is out of the last five guys to do that in the NHL, one of the other guys was a goaltender for the Nashville Predators named Chris Mason. Chris Mason now is doing the broadcasting for the Nashville Predators. So not only did he score a goal, which I think he scored a goal in the American Hockey League too, so he scored two at the pro level. He got the call, Pekka-Rinne's goal, and he's the ex-goaltender for the Nashville Predators. So that was kind of unique. And you know, I saw the whole thing set up when the Blackhawks gave up the first empty net goal to Nick Bonino. It was kind of a lucky play. He just fired it off the boards and the bank was right and it went into the net. So that was very disappointing that, you know, the game is basically going to be done at that point. They kind of checked out and there was a mistake made by the Blackhawks. They just kind of put the puck into the Nashville Predators end of the ice. And I could see
exactly what was going on there. And in my mind, I'm going, he's going to go for it. And, you know, rightly so, good for him. I'm not taking this as being disrespectful or anything like that. If you're a goaltender and you have a shot at an open net, I mean, that is a dream of basically every goaltender to score a goal. So I saw that whole thing develop, and I'm going, he's going for it. And, you know, good for him. That's a long shot for a goaltender to lift it up over everybody in the neutral zone. That's something that you really have to, you know, give him a tap on the back and say, well done, because that was pretty cool.
Hey, Troy, what's more taxing to you? What's harder, living with the ups and downs of a hockey team during the season and analyzing everything on the air, or working as a trader at the Merck?
You know, it's actually funny. I was at the Lexus dealership the other day, and I had to do some papers, and the guy doing that for me, the finance guy, we just kind of started talking, and he was an ex-trader as well, and he saw it. He says, "Oh, you traded me." I said, "Yeah, I was down there for 7 years at the Merck, and I was in the S&P pit as a local." And he goes, "Oh man, I was right behind you." And we started talking about the old times. And the funny thing is about being a trader compared to a hockey player, that there's a lot of similarities as far as the adrenaline rush that happens when you're in the pit and there's lots of action going on. Your blood starts to boil and you're involved in everything that's going on, and you get very competitive, obviously, in those pits. And I really enjoyed it. But as it kind of moved forward, I stepped into the broadcasting, and that part of it, you know, my life was always my passion. So I enjoyed the action in the pit. But when I had a chance to get out of there, it's a little bit of a different animal, because you can lose a lot of money quickly. Where the other flip side of it is you've got a pretty stable income.
Yeah,
I'll take that any day.
Yeah, hopefully you guys aren't wagering too much there in the broadcast booth. Let's hope for
I'm not sure John would make a good trader.
Oh, well, let's hope for a good night tomorrow night against the Ducks. It's Troy Murray, and he's sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Have a great weekend. Good talking to you, Troy.
Bob, Dave, thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it, guys.
See you, Troy.
And coming attractions here momentarily, a John Williams preview and the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. John Williams will be in charge of the radio station between 9 and noon.
We're screwed.
don't have that attitude.
It'll be terrible then.
Well, if they allow me to run it between 5 and 9 a.m., what's wrong with you?
I'm just a humble servant. I just serve at the pleasure of the management here.
Uh-huh. And how are you going to do that today? Exactly.
Well, I do have another question and answer from Jeopardy. We'll play the question. Let's see if you can get the answer. This time, though, we're using the Saturday Night Live celebrity parody version. Famous answers to some of the famous questions on that. We'll do that after the news. Also, we'll keep you posted on the weather. Demetrius Ivory from Channel 9. If you're doing any travel this weekend, Dave, are you doing any travel this weekend?
I am not.
A lot of folks are, and maybe you aren't, but is it going to snow 2 feet on your head, or just be rainy, or none of the above? We'll answer that for you in the first hour. And it's Friday, so we close out the show at the bright side. Around 11:30, you call in, give us some good news.
And I believe there is a requirement that you must mention a Coyotes at least once during your show today, John. So
I'm this close to playing "That Coyote Is Really a Crazy Clown."
Oh yeah,
Roadrunner.
We actually did that today. Yeah,
oh,
we
darn.
Did. But you're free to do that as well.
No, it's no fun now. We'll have a real good show though.
I know you will, and that means we're getting ready to listen. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Thanks for being with us.